I thought I was chasing one killer. I was wrong. What I found was a community, a digital congregation of followers calling themselves Justice Storytellers, who twisted the Netflix series into gospel and murder into content. Inside a secret Discord server, they traded victim footage like currency. Some were masked behind Bookstagram accounts. Others ran financial scams disguised as crowdfunding. Offshore accounts fueled the horror. And at the center of it all, a charismatic leader who believed bureaucracy was proof that their justice was the only one that mattered. I wasn't up against obsession anymore. I was up against a cult, one built not on faith, but on algorithms, likes, and death. Oh, by the way, if you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite platform so you never miss a story. The Netflix cult, I used to believe cults wore robes, that they gathered in forests or abandoned buildings, chanting in low tones and awaiting divine orders. I was wrong. Some cults wear hoodies. Some worship through Wi-Fi. Some start with a bingeable TV show and end with real blood. After the burner phone incident and the countdown video, I felt like I was running on instinct. I didn't eat. I didn't sleep. I didn't care. The clock was ticking. Some kid was going to die, and no one with authority was moving fast enough to stop it. I took matters into my own hands. I rejoined the Discord server, the one I had accessed in Chapter 2. But this time, I didn't just lurk. I engaged. Under a fake name, I posted questions, stirred discussion, asked about true justice, complimented their insights on the Dharma series. Slowly, they opened up, and that's when I found it. A private channel titled The Church of the Final Meal. At first, I thought it was satire, a sick joke, but it was real. Inside were hundreds of members, each with names like Righteous 13, Admin Prophet, or Justice Feeder. Most posted in code or used obscure hashtags, phrases I now recognized from the journal pages and burner videos. But one user, one leader, stood out. Brother Witness. He was their center. He spoke in manifestos, claimed the Netflix series didn't glorify Dharma, it resurrected him. Said that the show brought the forgotten mission of purification back into the collective memory, that this generation had finally been given the right lens. It wasn't fandom, it was scripture, and they called it their justice tales. I copied every message, every reply, every video link they shared. I took screenshots of Discord threads where users debated how legacy murders should be structured. They referenced editing techniques, music cues, even lighting suggestions for filming their own footage. Then I found something worse, a Google Drive folder shared between members. Inside were dozens of files labeled with numbers and nicknames. I opened one. A victim, chained, drugged, still alive, crying. A timer in the bottom right corner. I felt sick. There was a file titled Sermon Footage, Acts Approved. A live Zoom recording of Brother Witness speaking to a blurred out room of six people. He wore a plain black mask, spoke slowly, calmly, articulate. He said this, "We do not kill for pleasure, we kill to remind, to cleanse, to balance the scales after financial corruption has tainted justice. They steal with offshore accounts, we take souls, their ledger reads in dollars, ours in deeds." Someone in the room clapped. I closed the file before I vomited. That night, I sat in the middle of my apartment, shaking. I whispered into the recorder, "Audio journal, entry 4. This is Lily Marston, and I've just found a cult born from pixels and death, a network that doesn't hide from the world. It thrives inside it, behind Bookstagram quotes, behind justice hashtags, behind fandoms. They don't just romanticize Dharma. They believe he was the first prophet. Netflix, to them, was the second coming." I knew I had to expose them, all of them. But I also knew the second I moved publicly, they'd come for me. So I took precautions. I contacted every cybersecurity contact I'd ever worked with. I stored files on encrypted drives. I sent portions of what I had to anonymous journalists I trusted. But I also knew this cult had money, real money. I saw it in their donations, their structure. The offshore accounts that funded their operations weren't rogue. They were organized. This wasn't a hobby. This was a coordinated digital ideology, a content cult. And the more I read, the more I saw my name in jokes, in references. One meme showed a cartoon version of me, blindfolded, holding a book that read, "Justice or Death." The caption, "Lily's story drops soon." They were planning something. Another countdown started on a secondary site. This time it was public, not on the dark web, right there on a minimalist page with a video player and a title. "Final Sermon, starring Lily Marston." No login required, no protection, just a timer ticking down. 3 days. I reported it, again and again. Silence. So I recorded a new message, one I didn't whisper, one I meant for the world. If I disappear, don't look for me in the woods. Look on your phones. Check your feeds. Search the tags you scroll past. Because this cult doesn't hide in the shadows. They live in your likes, in your true crime bookmarks, in your fascination. Every retweet, every stream, you've already given them a platform. I was just dumb enough to notice. I stared at the timer, and I waited.